Now the moment you bring about an objectivity, a dialogue starts. The monologue stops because there is not any more one actor acting alone. Now there are many, multiplicity is created. And all the multiple faces are objective faces of the one reality, because reality is one. Now these objective realities enter into dialogue with the subject. This is all that is called play. It is play because basically it is the same reality. Same reality is here, and the objective is also the same reality, but now his position is different. It is this position that makes a difference in the way in which interaction can take place. In the beginning there was no interaction at all, because he is the only one. Interaction with whom? Now interaction takes place with his own objective selves. This interaction is the interaction of mutual sacrifice. Sacrifice, as Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is a universal law. Whether you like it or not, the whole world is a pulsation. And that pulsation is not of a nature of a monologue. This pulsation is a nature of a dialogue or multi-dialogue. Therefore, there is interaction. In the interaction, what happens is the Lord gives himself to the object, and the object gives himself to the Lord. It is the same Lord in both the forms, here and there. Now, this interaction is what is called offering. God offers himself to the Bhakta, and Bhakta offers himself to the Bhagwan. So even in the case of a karma yogi who is established on the top, who really does nothing, even in his case, for the sake of the play, there is this interaction. There is no necessity of doing it, that you must now interact in this way, because here is a plane of freedom. You may offer, you may not offer, you may play, you may not play. But even without your playing, your very movement will be that of offering. You are not required to offer, as it were. But it is also a kind of a play in which you offer. So even in the case of an accomplished karma yogi, in whom there is no distinction between the Lord who acts and the instrument through which he acts, even there, the instrument who acts can play the game of offering whatever passes through him back to the Lord. Although it goes back automatically, even if you do not give it back, it goes automatically to the Lord. But you can also accompany with it a kind of a play, that as if it is offering, coming from you and being given to the Lord. Now, in the world that is designed, since it is designed on the ground of a play, this relationship is, you might say, a luxury. It's not necessary, it's not absolutely inevitable, but it is played as a luxury. So, when the Supreme Bhakta, one who is really a karma yogi, who is a great bhakta, he constantly goes on saying, "Oh Lord, take it from me. What is being breathed by you in me is once again given to you as if from me, not from me, as if from me, because it comes now from the objective angle." Now, this is as far as the Siddha Avastha is concerned. when you are accomplished bhakta or an accomplished karma yogi. But when you are at a lower level of consciousness, when you have just learned, or when you are ignorant that such is the scheme of the world, when we do not know that the world is nothing but subjective consciousness of the Lord manifesting by the creation of objective faces of Himself and then creating an interaction, and that the whole world is nothing but the play between subjective and the objective, when we do not know this, then what should be our procedure of arriving at this realization? Now, one principle of yoga is that of imitation. When we are ignorant, we do not see. We do not see the divine as subjective and objective. We do not see the play in the world. Actually, the world seems to be so horrible that we can't even call it a play. But when we do not know that it is a play, at that time, how shall we move towards this real perception that it's a play? So all yoga is a process from where we are to the highest state where we have to reach, where we can consciously know that this is a play and experience it to be a play. The answer is, you imitate the ideal at the present moment. You behave as if it is a play. You do it as if, because really speaking, it is so. There is one very nice sentence of Sri Aurobindo. Behave as if mother is present, because indeed she is always present. Behave as if the mother is present, because indeed she is always present. Since I do not know that mother is present, I am told you act as if she is present. But you are told not to do something that is false. You do it because, really speaking, it is so. So the process of imitation is basically not an artificial process. It is not based upon a fiction. You are told as if because you do not know that it is so. The child does not know that when it cries, the mother will respond. And the child cries out to get the response of the mother. That is because the mother will indeed respond. It is really so. The mother is there to respond to it. The very function of the mother is to respond to the needs of the child. Such is the nature of the world, but when the child does not know, then he learns that if the child cries, then this will happen. So at different levels of our consciousness, all yoga is imitation. To do as if the reality was what it is proposed to be. That is because it is really so. Therefore, in the process of yoga, you start doing what you would do at the highest level. At the highest level, you are bound to play the game, because that is the Lord's wish, that He has created the whole world only for the sake of the play. In that play, He gives something and you return. Now you, at present, is ignorant ego. But at the highest level, you do not mean an egoistic, ignorant individual. But the object, which is the divine Himself, offering Himself back to the divine. Now, if this is true at the highest level, then even at the lowest level, you imitate that movement and you do it. until the imitation element will automatically disappear and the real thing will remain. The more you become aware of it, the imitation level will diminish. Now the conclusion of the whole description of this is that the whole world is made for a play in which each individual will be offering from his objective side to the Supreme Lord, who is your subject, who is your soul, who is your real being. So if you do it even at the lower level, you will be only playing the game that Lord wants you to play. But since it is a play, it is not inevitable. Therefore, your basic proposition, why should I pray to the Lord? Why should I offer to the Lord? When He knows Himself, when He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, logically what you say is true. And really speaking, at that level, you do not feel the necessity or compulsion of it. If you do it, it is simply for the sake of the play. But in our gradual process of development, it helps a great deal if you go on offering to the Divine. It gives you a condition more and more natural in which you will constantly play with the Divine as if you are not playing, as if there is no compulsion in it at all. But still, nonetheless, even at the highest level, from you there will be prayer and there will be that self-giving and self-offering, even at the highest level. I don't know if I have answered the question to your satisfaction, but if you have any question, what is your question?
It was her question.
All right.